Om Adya Maharaj Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana Kala Rupo Vatirno Syam Abhavaya Suradvisham. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, in the guise of all-devouring time, Kala Rupa, has now descended on earth to eliminate the envious from the world. Perfect by His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are two classes of human beings, namely the envious and the obedient. Since the Supreme Lord is one and the Father of all living beings, the envious living beings are also His sons, but they are known as the Asuras. But the living beings who are obedient to the Supreme Father are called devatas, or demigods, because they are not contaminated by the material conception of life. Not only are the asuras envious of the Lord in even denying the existence of the Lord, but they are also envious of all other living beings. The predominance of asuras in the world is occasionally rectified by the Lord when He eliminates them from the world and establishes the rule of the devatas, like the Pandavas. His designation as Kala in disguise is significant. He is not at all dangerous, but He is the transcendental form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. For the devotees, His factual form is disclosed, and for the non-devotees, He appears like Kala Rupa, which is casual form. This casual form of the Lord is not at all pleasing to the asuras, and therefore they think of the Lord as formless in order to feel secure that they will not be vanquished by the Lord. As it is spoken in Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead reveals Himself to us according to the particular consciousness in which we approach Him. In every situation of life, we are reciprocating in one way or another with Krishna. The materialistic people are receiving Krishna's blessed gifts at every very moment, in one way or another. Krishna explains that everything is emanating from Him. That means everything is coming from Krishna. Everything we see, Krishna is giving us that vision. Everything we hear, Krishna is giving us the power to hear and the sound to hear. Whatever we taste, Krishna gives us the power to taste, the sense to taste. He gives us the process of tasting and the object of taste. In this way, through all of our senses, through our mind, our life is at all times in reciprocation with Krishna. The question is how we reciprocate with Krishna.
It is explained herein that there are two classes of human beings. One reciprocates with Krishna with a grateful heart. One acknowledges that Krishna is the source of everything, and therefore one reciprocates with him according to his desire. The other is called Asura, the demoniac, who, although they are reciprocating with Krishna, they fail to recognize it as Krishna. They fail to have any gratitude toward the giver of all benedictions. And therefore, they do as they like in disobedience to the will of God. And Krishna reveals himself accordingly to each particular person. There are three modes of material nature. And according to how we are bound by the three modes of material nature and the desires in which our consciousness is composed, in that way we approach Krishna, and Krishna rewards himself, reveals himself. There is the law of karma. Tonight there will be a lecture on the law of karma. The law of karma basically is Krishna reciprocating indirectly through material nature with the disobedient living entities who are misusing their independence. It is Krishna's reciprocation. You perform an evil deed, Krishna will reciprocate you by smashing you and causing you an equal proportion of suffering. You perform a pious deed with material motivations, Krishna will reciprocate, give you some pious reward, some temporary arrangement of sense gratification. In this way, the whole material existence, the whole spiritual existence, everything going on is simply the living entities reciprocating with Krishna. We cannot escape Krishna. It is impossible. Krishna is the very source of our being. Krishna is the beginning, the end, the middle. He is everything. And ignorance means to cultivate whatever form of knowledge or awareness without this understanding. It is ignorance. In the colleges, in the universities, actually, they teach only one thing, ignorance, nothing else. It is all avidya, shameful, disgusting ignorance. That's all they know how to teach. The only thing they have the legal right to teach is ignorance. Why? Because they are not teaching the recognition how everything is coming from God, everything ultimately is going to God, and we are all inseparably part of God. But when we learn to recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when we learn to reciprocate with Him favorably, that process is called knowledge. And any other type of education that is connected to that is also considered knowledge. And this is the greatest need within human society, the need of knowledge. The need to be aware and understand that Krishna is from within and without, providing and receiving everything in our life. The asura receives from Krishna, but then insults Krishna. And therefore, by the laws of material nature, he is punished. It is explained here that Krishna is like father. He is like the father, and for the benefit of the child, he will either reward or punish. In all the miseries of this material existence are similarly the punishments of God to rectify us from our own misbehavior. And it is described here that Krishna, to fulfill the desires of the asuras, who do not want to surrender to him, who do not want to acknowledge his supreme existence, he appears before them in disguise. This is what you want? You don't want God? Then I will not appear to you as God. He is disguised as time, Kala Rupa, the all-devouring force, which is nothing but God himself, controlling at every moment our lives, but yet we do not see him as God. We see him as time. When Arjuna requested Krishna to reveal the Virat Rupa, Krishna revealed to the whole world through this wonderful pastime how he is personally time. Within our world, we are so dull. We see people are dying. We see people are growing old. We see people are suffering in so many ways due to the cruel power of time. But we see it in an impersonal way. We just see that it is some force, it is some energy, it is some natural law that cannot be avoided. We do not see that it is personally the form of God in that disguise. But in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna saw time for what it was. It was Krishna in this gigantic, magnificent form with thousands of mouths devouring all living beings. They were just like flowing into his mouth, and he was gnashing them and devouring them. That is factually what time is all about. It is Krishna destroying your physical existence, destroying your temporary conceptions, moment after moment after moment. The devotees recognize this, and they are not afraid of time. Why? Because they see who's behind the disguise, the all-loving Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. So moham sarva-bhuteshu, who is the friend, the loving friend of every living being. So what do we have to fear from time? The materialists are scared to death of time. It is just like if the loving father puts on disguise just to have some fun, to scare his son. He puts on some costume which makes him very fearful. If the son does not understand who this is, he thinks, oh, a monster is coming to get me. And he becomes terribly afraid and runs away and screams. But if he knows that actually it's his father in a costume, when he sees the monster coming, he thinks, ah, very nice, very nice. You are very nice. Come get me. I'm not afraid. So that is the difference between material life and spiritual life. The materialists are very much afraid of death because they only see an all-devouring, mysterious, unknown force that's devouring them. But the devotees see that it's Krishna, it's Gopinath, the flute player of Brajbhumi, who's in this disguise. So what do I have to fear? He's coming to take me back home, back to Godhead. in this wonderful disguise. In this way, we should learn to see Krishna at every moment in his wonderful form of time. Time is beautiful. Anything in relationship to Krishna is beautiful. But only when we understand how Krishna is beautiful. Until we realize the beauty of Krishna, the transcendental nature of Krishna, and everything within this material world is a source of great bewilderment. The beautiful things in this world simply agitate our minds and bewilder us. The ugly things in this world just disgust us and make us bewildered. Everything. The materialist is totally bewildered at all times. He's constantly accepting and rejecting, constantly hankering and lamenting, constantly being tossed by the waves of material dualities. In this way, he's always bewildered, always agitated, always longing for something or lamenting for another thing. But a devotee, behind the disguise of all these dualities, which are conducted by time, Kalarupa, the devotee sees Krishna. In the beautiful things of this world, we see only Krishna. In the ugly things of this world, we don't even see their ugliness anymore. We see Krishna. We see everything as a transformation of the wonderful energies of Krishna. And all these transformations are being conducted by Krishna. You see, all the transformations of material nature, they are all happening under the influence of time. Time is like, have you ever seen an India orchestra? In America we have orchestras where there's all different instruments and there's an orchestra leader who tells each instrument, you do like this with a stick, he goes, and then everybody, violins go like this, and then he goes like this, and the trumpets go like this. He's coordinating everything. Everyone plays according to his direction. That is the orchestra leader. So there are so many manifestations due to different mixtures of the three modes of material nature, which create so many dualities within this material phenomena. They are like an orchestra, making so many sounds, blending together in so many ways. But Krishna is like the conductor of the orchestra. He's directing everyone in the form of time. Every transformation that takes place is taking place by the influence of time. How the electrons and the neutrons and the atomic particles are moving about, they are all moving about, they are all transforming themselves in so many ways by the orchestrated power of time. Everything. Every thought in your mind is taking place through the power of time. Every change in your body, this whole material existence is under the influence to the deepest level by time. And Krishna says, time I am. So Krishna consciousness is that sublime process of recognizing Krishna. And we find in Srimad Bhagavatam, before Srila Shukadeva Goswami describes the wonderful pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna in Vrindavan, he describes so many other wonderful, wonderful truths about Krishna and his relationships with his devotees. And not only in Bhagavad Gita, but also in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, there's a very, very elaborate description by Srila Shukadeva Goswami of the Virat Rupa, the universal form, because this is very important. Unless we can recognize Krishna in our daily lives, in this world, as the supreme controller of everything, as the inside, the outside, the all-pervading influence of our lives and of all of creation, then we will not be able to live within this world in a proper consciousness. We may think of Krishna's wonderful pastimes and his various avatars during the katha, or sometime during the puja at home. But when we enter into the world and the duality starts striking against us, will we be able to remember his beautiful pastimes then? We have to be able to recognize how he is there. He is there at every moment. His influence is everywhere. Therefore, why in the Amala Purana, in Srimad Bhagavatam, is Shukadeva Goswami discussing something like the Virat Rupa? Because it is an essential realization in the spiritual path of pure devotional service. To understand within this world, you see, Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken for two purposes. For those who are paramhamsas, who are the topmost transcendentalists, Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to give them the ultimate pleasure of life, to taste the sweet ambrosial nectar of Krishna Katha in its purest form. And for those who are still conditioned in this material world, Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to bring them directly to the platform of pure, unalloyed devotional service. No stops, no preliminary exits in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It takes you directly to the ultimate position of pure devotional service. But how to come to that position? We must understand, while we are living in this world, how Krishna is relating to us at every moment. And we must be conscious of that reality. The good, the bad, the pleasures, the pains, the heat, the cold, the health, the disease, they are all transformations of time. And Krishna is time. Devotees must learn to see beyond the disguise and see the wonderful, loving person who is conducting everything. And we reciprocate with Krishna. And as we reciprocate with Krishna, Krishna will reciprocate with us. Srila Prabhupada used the example that when the kitten is in the mouth of the mother cat, the kitten feels very nice. Ah, yes. These wonderful, wonderful sharp teeth that are in my body are very nicely supporting me and protecting me. But for the rat, those same sharp teeth are very painful. For the rat, they see the cat as death, the personification of all fear. So in the same way, the devotee sees time. The devotee sees all the transformations within this material world as Krishna coming. Krishna coming to collect us and bring us back home, back to Godhead. Krishna preparing us as a wonderful offering of sacrifice at his lotus feet. Just like you remember the story of Jad Bharat, how the dacoits were looking for a human sacrifice, and they found Jad Bharat, and he was willing to do anything, he didn't care. He was seeing Krishna, he was seeing Kala Rupa, and he was seeing the Lord of his life behind that disguise. So these dacoit, asuras, they wanted to make him a sacrifice for the goddess Kali. So they prepared him very nicely. they bathed him, and they put scented oils on him, and they put very costly garments on him, and they brought him to the sacrifice after he was very well prepared, so that he was offerable to the goddess. So in the same way, but in a different way, Krishna, in the form of time, to his devotees, he is preparing us for an offering to himself. In so many ways, he's preparing us. And devotee sees that. Just like a piece of sabji, potato. When you want to prepare a potato to offer to Krishna, you cut it, you chop it, sometimes you mash it. It's not very comfortable for the potato to be cut by knives, pierced by, washed in hot water, and then smashed up sometimes, then sometimes fried in oil or boiled in water. But in the end, that potato is offered to Krishna, and thus that potato life becomes perfect as an offering to Krishna. Now if the potato was not aware that the devotee is making all these arrangements to offer him to Krishna, to make him nice and acceptable to Krishna, the potato would be very afraid when he's being cut and boiled and fried and smashed. But if he understands, then it's very nice. So similarly, through time, Krishna's preparing us all to be a wonderful offering to him. Sometimes he will cut you. Through time, all the transformations of material existence is happening by the direction of time. If someone insults you and cuts your heart with sharp words, it's not the person doing it, it's time. That person is simply working under the direction of time. Krishna's cutting your ego through his agent. Or sometimes we get terrible disease, like here in the Brahmachari Ashram. So many people are diseased with all kinds of... Of course, we have to try our best to keep fit, but at the same time, Krishna, it's like Raghupati had 106 fever, so Krishna was boiling him in the form of time. Sometimes he cuts us, sometimes he boils us, sometimes he smashes us. It's like these potato patties they make, they get smashed. So their pulp, Krishna will sometimes physically, he will smash us, he will cut us, he will boil us. Our egos, he will do the same. In this way, whether it's coming through Adiatmaka, Adidaivaka, Adibhautika, all of these things are working under the power of time. It's Krishna. Just like, for instance, someone may insult you. Why you're cutting my heart like this? But actually, when the knife cuts the potato, is it the knife that's cutting? Directly. But the remote cause is the cook. He's actually cutting through the knife. So in the same way, this is how time operates in this world. Time will sometimes take the knife of your enemy and cut you. But don't blame the knife. It's time. It's Krishna. Of course, he's reciprocating. You perform sinful karma, he'll reciprocate and take some nice person, use him as a knife, and cut you to pieces. As a reciprocation with your activities. Sometimes, so many nice, wonderful things happen in our life. That is also Krishna using his various utensils in the forms of this material phenomena to prepare. For a devotee, we are constantly being prepared to become purified, to be a proper offering to Krishna. The devotee recognizes that. And the materialistic people, whether he knows it or not, he's also being prepared. But because he's not willing to recognize, he's not willing to appreciate, he's not willing to reciprocate properly, it's a terribly long process. It may take many creations before he's actually fit to be offered on the altar of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, Krishna consciousness is the most wonderful, wonderful outlook in life, because it is based in the most sublime and subtle truths. Krishna says in Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and who sees everything in me, for him I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. And we are discussing today how to see Krishna everywhere. In the very, very advanced and purified stages, in separation, in longing for that beautiful, beautiful Lord of Vrindavan, you will be seeing Krishna everywhere, in love, in ecstasy. But at this particular stage in our spiritual lives, we should see Krishna as the person behind every situation that comes in our life. And we should see how, in the disguise of time, he is using the various utensils of material phenomena to prepare us to be a wonderful offering at his lotus feet for his pleasure. And when we're perfectly ready to be offered, when our heart has no more material desires, when our ego has no more feelings of longing for recognition, when we truly come to the purified state of being the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, then we're taken out of the kitchen where all the preparation work, the kitchen of this material world, and we are brought on the altar. And then Radharani offers us to Sri Gopinath by the grace of our spiritual master, and then we become happy. We have achieved the perfection of life. So we can see this so much through watching the pujaris and the cooks. This analogy. Sadhana bhakti is like being in the kitchen, being prepared. And then we're offered on the altar when we're in our purified, ready for Krishna, suitable for Krishna. We cannot offer a dirty, uncooked potato to Krishna. Now we are all like dirty, uncooked potatoes. We have to be washed. We have to be scrubbed. We have to be cut. We have to be fried, boiled, and cooked and smashed. Very encouraging, isn't it? But actually it is. If you see that Krishna is the cook through time, then it's very blissful, actually, going through material life. But if you're not, if you do not have that faith, then it's terribly bewildering. It's painful. It's miserable. The devotees know that Krishna is so kind. Soon I will be seeing his beautiful form of Radha Gopinath, and he will enjoy me. That is my life. That is my soul. That is my aspiration. In this way we see Krishna everywhere. Is there any questions? Yes.
Krishna says in the Bhagavad.
Shyamananda Prabhu is giving lecture on karma tonight.
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that this process is so sukham, it's very joyful. And Mahaprabhu's process is also said by Lochan Das as Keval Ananda Kanda. Mm. So anybody who hears this, so he will get bewildered. Like many people come to spiritual life because they think this Susukham is from their part. Mm. They will be enjoying. Mm. But actually it appears that actually it is Krishna who is enjoying. So how to reconcile this fact? That do we say that this is enjoyable for them, or it's enjoyable only for Krishna?
The only way you can reconcile this fact is to surrender to Krishna. Because he is the supreme enjoyer. And when we allow ourselves to be enjoyed by him, then we achieve the supreme enjoyment. Because our enjoyment, the soul's real enjoyment is to give Krishna enjoyment. To the degree we're giving Krishna enjoyment, to that degree we enjoy, because the soul is by nature a haitikiyapratiyata. But to the degree we want some separate enjoyment for ourselves, to that degree we're depriving ourselves of real happiness, spiritual happiness. So it is blissful. It is blissful because when we're chanting, dancing and feasting, we are recognizing Krishna. And then whatever happens in this world, through the process of chanting Krishna's name, associating with Krishna's devotees, we are able to perceive Krishna everywhere and in everything. We're able to see that it's Krishna, that beautiful, beautiful, wonderful personality who's so delightfully giving me ecstasy in his name. It is he that is disguised as time. And therefore time is not cruel. Time is merciful. But the child who doesn't understand that it's the father behind the costume, he thinks that it is a cruel monster. So Krishna consciousness is blissful. But to bring us to that purified state where we can realize that complete blissfulness, we have to go through much. You see, it's not that when you're a devotee, you get put in the kitchen to be cut and boiled and fried. Everybody's being cut and boiled and fried, whether you're devotee or not devotee. Material existence is doing that to everyone. The difference is Krishna reciprocates with how you reciprocate. Time is creating so many circumstances in our life which may have been influenced by our past karma. That means he's reciprocating. Correct? Karma means reciprocation. You do something, the reciprocation of God is you get something back through time. So whatever situations come due to whatever we have done in the past, a devotee recognizes that this is Krishna coming to purify me. And therefore that devotee is actually getting purified. And Krishna reciprocates by doing everything possible to make that person perfect. But for a person who is not a devotee, who doesn't recognize, who isn't grateful, who isn't Krishna conscious, Krishna is not preparing them as an offering to him. He's simply reciprocating with pleasures and pains to keep him in bondage because that's what he wants. So the material world is a place of duality, and duality is a situation of suffering. When we recognize that and we turn to Krishna, then we can be blissful. Because then through all those dualities we see Krishna. Through all these dualities we see hope. We see spiritual progress. If you do not choose that way of life, then through all of the dualities of material existence, you will simply be punished and bewildered. But for a devotee, we're not being punished and bewildered. We're being mercifully, lovingly prepared for pure, unalloyed, eternal life in the spiritual world. So that is your choice. To be cut up and then thrown in the garbage, or to be cut up and offered on the altar. Which do you prefer? Hari Bol. But everyone must get cut off. It's material existence.
Yes? Talking about the smashing and all these things, we see that, we feel it, that this is what Krishna wants us to do it, wants me to do it. But we are so strong and so stubborn, and although Krishna smashes, we will not be getting so smashed as Krishna wants us to be smashed.
What do you mean? Whatever Krishna wants will be done.
So, Maharaj, I just wanted to know that we wanted to see that this thing should get over in this lifetime itself. Is it possible that all this business can get over in this lifetime and we go back to Godhead? Because this process...
If you really want it, Krishna will arrange it. Definitely. If you really want, Krishna will arrange. But don't change your mind once the arrangements come. How do you vote?
When we take to Krishna conscious process, after some time the poison starts coming out. Sometimes we want to be appreciated by devotees. Sometimes when we see good qualities in other devotees or other devotees doing better seva, we become envious and jealous. So when such negative feelings and thought comes, what should we do at that particular moment? When these negative feelings and thoughts come to us, what should we do at that particular moment?
When devotees are appreciating you?
No, when we want to be appreciated by devotees.
When you want to be.
And when we become envious and jealous of other devotees, when such thoughts come, what should we do at that particular moment?
Everyone appreciates you very much. You're such a nice devotee. Everyone who appreciates Srivas, say Haribo. So why, what is the problem? The problem is your mind. However much appreciation, we always want more. Anyways, it is our duty to appreciate devotees. Because within a society of Vaishnavas, we should know that the world will not appreciate. But our shelter and our refuge is in the congenial relationships with other Vaishnavas. This is very important. We should not think that I will be the knife that time will use to cut this person's ego. That is not the consciousness of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is to serve other Vaishnavas, to praise other Vaishnavas. Sometimes the guru or the very senior devotees, sometimes out of loving service, they may take position to create difficulties in your life. But as far as devotees amongst each other in society, we should always be trying to encourage, appreciate, and show our love for each other. This is very important. But you will find the more you show your love for others, the more you'll recognize others love you. The more you appreciate other devotees, the more you'll be able to recognize how devotees appreciate you. Because ultimately, Krishna is reciprocating with everybody through the Vaishnavas also. If you cannot appreciate other devotees, Krishna will blind you from being able to see how others are appreciating you. If you're really taking the time to make the sacrifice to encourage other devotees, then Krishna will reciprocate and he'll show you, he'll reveal to you how much others are encouraging you. If you extend yourself in a selfless way to show love for other devotees, then you will recognize how many devotees love you. So if you're not feeling appreciated, you should feel it's because you're not appreciating. You're not able to appreciate other people's appreciation. If you don't feel love, it's because you're not showing enough love. Krishna's not revealing, reciprocating by showing you all the love that the Vaishnavas have. Because this is a movement of service. This is not a movement of exploitation. Krishna reciprocates. Seeing devotees who really extend themselves to try to help others who don't feel loved and wanted within this movement. I see devotees who expect so much from others. They feel very much lonely and unloved in this movement, even though many people may love them. So when this feeling comes in your heart and the tendency to be envious comes in your heart, you have to understand. It's not in them, it's in me. In giving, you will receive Krishna. Yes.
Maharaj, you are talking about time and how it is delivering the fruits of the karma of different living entities. And so actually when we are interacting with the different situations of different people, actually we are interacting with the karma of different people, ours and theirs. So I'm not able to understand how is the, it appears to me that karma seems to be superior, because actually it is a primal causal factor which ultimately, and time is delivering the fruits which are expected out of that karma. So like Krishna is talking about the karma mimamsa philosophy, that the karma is supreme, it is ultimately the thing. So I don't know how that is wrong. It appears that karma is actually the prime factor which starts the whole cycle of different things in the whole world, actually. Is it not that, Maharaj?
Karma is being conducted by time. The whole cycle, if you study the creation, when Krishna impregnates himself in the form of time, that's when everything starts moving. All the primordial ingredients of creation are there. When Krishna creates, there's the ego, then there's the subtle element of intelligence and mind, and then earth, water, fire, air, ether. They are all injected, but they're all stagnant. They're all simply principles that have been injected. Then he injects himself as time, and that time creates movement. And that movement creates interaction. And through that interaction, everything is manifested within this creation. Creation, maintenance, and destruction are all orchestrated by the influence of time. So the law of karma, behind the law of karma is time. There could be no action. There could be no reaction without time. Can there? So therefore, the law of karma, for a person who is atheistic, for a person who does not, who is not willing to accept or understand the power, the force behind, karma is supreme. Karma mimamsa is a materialistic philosophy. It is actually an atheistic philosophy. But Krishna explains in Gita, Sarva dharman parityaja, mam ekam sharanam braja, aham tvam sarva papevyo, moksha ishami masaja. That we are all being, as the Bhagavatam explained last week, just like a bull with a nose in his ring is pulled one way or another, and he cannot resist. He has to go wherever the rope pulls him. In this way, the three modes of material nature, through the laws of karma, are just dragging us helplessly to one situation to another. And we are completely victimized. We have no power. Karma is supreme over us. But if we surrender to Krishna, then Krishna explains that he intervenes. He takes us out of the law of karma. Mahatmanas tumam parata daivim prakriti mahasat. A great soul, because he surrenders to Krishna, because he engages in Krishna's service, he's put under the divine energy. He's no longer simply influenced by karma. Krishna intervenes when we surrender to him, and he personally arranges for our purification. If we do not surrender to Krishna, karma is supreme. But if we surrender to Krishna, then the power, the force, the person behind karma intervenes. He is the only one that can remove us from the laws of karma.
I have two questions, Maharaj. One is, as you said, at every situation we have to see Krishna. And we also understand that if our reaction is as per the instruction of Guru and Krishna, then obviously we are reacting right way to the situation. General is his overall perception, but how in every situation, in every second to second, how do we see this and how do we know that we are reacting, the way we are reacting is just as Krishna wants it, or best, make use best of the situation? How do we do that and not let Krishna do that again and again for us too?
Acharya Upasanam. One who hears from Acharya knows what is what. No one else can know. Krishna speaks through Guru. Krishna speaks to the sadhus, the shastra. In this way, if we have this proper direction and guidance, we can understand what Krishna wants us to do 24 hours a day. There should be no question. Krishna says, always think of me. Our guru teaches us how to always think of Krishna. If you're thinking about sense gratification, is there any question of whether this is what Krishna wants? If you're indulging in sense gratification outside the parameters of proper Krishna consciousness, is there any question that yes, this is what Krishna wants? We have learned from our spiritual master. We have learned from the writings of the previous acharyas. We are learning from our god brothers. We know exactly what Krishna wants, and we know exactly how to do it. There's no question. And if within our life there is some sort of doubt, we ask. Tadvidi pranipatena hari prashnena sarva. If you want to know the truth, you must approach Guru. Inquire submissively. He will reveal. So we are completely dependent on the mercy of Guru to receive the proper direction by which we can approach Krishna properly. Yasya prasara bhagavat prasara, yasya prasara nagati kata. If we please Krishna, we please Guru. If we displease Krishna, we displease Guru. If we understand these principles, then we will know exactly what is to be done and what is not to be done.
And the second one, Maharaj, it's the time which causes all the interactions. It is said that in spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. Mm. So what kind of interaction is that?
That means Krishna is no longer in disguise. Krishna is playing his flute for everybody. Time is his disguise in this material world, in which he conceals himself. But in the spiritual world, he is conducting everything directly and personally, and he's letting everyone see him and love him for what he is, eternally. in the spiritual world, Krishna makes everyone dance. But we dance because we see him, and he plays his flute, and we dance. Constant dancing. In the spiritual world, everything is being conducted directly by the sweet will of the personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki. Now we're finished.